battery out of get a little fucking focus.
Log Talk Radio.
I don't know if Rob's ready. Rob, you ready?
And I'm ready to do this thing, Doc. Let's rock and roll, Doc.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Not adjust the radio.
Your time is up. My time is now.
You well, can't man.
My time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. Man, what an explosive night, man. I hope you're just not, everyone's still thinking voting and politics and elections. And hopefully we can be a little distraction for you guys, obviously. A lot of things going on. If we hear anything about that, we'll definitely update the crew because we are not only talking about sports, but things are going on during the, general world event. So that's what it's all about. So, as mentioned, Andre, joined by Robert, today is Tuesday, November the 6th, and we are ready to get started with another great edition of Talking Sports the 12th Man. Rob Ford, how you doing this evening, sir? You ready?
Man, doing great. We just hope and pray that everyone got out and did their civic duties on today. And, we'll see. Hopefully there will be some good news here tonight or in the morning. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned as well. As always, for those who want to call into the show, the number to call into is 424-243-9519. And also, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, 12th Man Sports, for Talking Sports from 12th Man, excuse me. And if you want to tweet us, it's the number 12thmansports.com. So that's a lot of things going on. We got a lot of things to talk about. Let's kick it right off with some college football talk. And we got to dive into some big-time games are happening this weekend, and Robert, it was a good go by LSU. They couldn't quite pull it off versus Alabama. That was a very, very impressive game, so hopefully you're okay about that too. But let's kick it off with number 11, Oregon State, and number 14, Stanford. And believe it or not, Stanford is a 4.5-point favorite in this particular game, and this has kind of been a tough game to pick. I know a lot of quarterback plays, teams are pretty much evenly matched all the way to the quarterback, but there's been a lot of things. You got like a redshirt freshman in Kevin Hogan starting for Stanford when he gets Cody Vaz for Oregon State. This is a pretty interesting game. I don't know what you have to say about this one, sir.
Well, I like Stanford at home in this game. I mean, I think Oregon State is really strong defensively, and but I like Stanford at home. They've been pretty tough out at home this year. They've been a really good ball club. And so I like Stanford to win this game at home.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, too, because like you said, both of them have a very, very strong run defense. So it's going to be, depending on the quarterback play. So like I said, it's tough because, as much as I hate giving it to a freshman guy, the home field advantage definitely adds something to play. So I'm going to agree with you and go with Stanford in this particular contest. Moving right along, let's go to number 15, Texas A&M at number 1, Alabama. This is a pretty big game, obviously. Johnny Manziel coming back in to do some damage versus that vaunted Alabama team. But Alabama's actually a 13.5-point favorite, and this is an interesting game. I think Texas A&M is going to put a scare in Alabama, especially after such an emotionally draining game versus you guys at LSU. I don't think it's going to be 14 points, but I do think Alabama's going to pull this one out. It's going to be a lot closer than we expect.
I totally agree with you on this one. I like Alabama, but I really do think it's going to be really close. Texas A&M is a vaunted offense. I mean, they have been very impressive the last 2 weeks. I know it was against Auburn and Mississippi State, and I expect Texas A&M to really be in this ball game. And just kind of, Texas A&M, they played LSU tough here a few weeks ago. And as you see, LSU dominated against Alabama. I mean, just moved up and down the field on Alabama. And some bad coaching errors by Les Miles cost them the game against Alabama. So I really do think Texas A&M can hang with them. But I think they'll still come up short.
Gotcha. Let's talk about the game of games here. Well, not the game of games, but just something that's, obviously – number 21 Mississippi State going against your number 7 LSU Tigers. They are 14.5-point favorites. And I got to tell you, I was watching the LSU-Alabama game, and I think Zach Mettenberger finally grew up in that game. I think he started, you know, showing some promise in the quarterback that you guys thought you were going to get whenever you first came to LSU. And I'd love to hear your thoughts in this game. But I definitely think that LSU is going to definitely take it out of Mississippi State, and they're going to pull us out without any problem because obviously they're at home too. So tell us your thoughts about that, and also your thoughts about how the quarterback play actually, you know, did pretty well against a pretty good, pretty impressive Alabama defense.
Yes, I like LSU to respond here and win this game. Sometimes after a tough loss, you know, a lot of teams don't respond that well. But I think Les Miles rallied his troops and LSU come out and play capable, you know, play football that they're capable of playing and come out with a home victory against Mississippi State. And yes, Mettenberger probably, you know, ironically had his best game as a college football player against probably the best team in the country. And, so maybe that brought the best out of him. And I think you'll see them respond with a 2-3 touchdown victory this weekend against Mississippi State.
T-Rod has spoken. We'll see what happens. Hopefully he won't get kicked out of any types of boost or anything like that, but he'll stay focused on the task at hand.
No, I'm not going to be like Bobby Hebert.
That was kind of messed up. You know, I'm not going to get it wrong. I like this question. We're going to talk about, we are talking about politics and or it's election night, obviously, in the States. And nice question. What college football coach would you vote for president? I think this is a pretty interesting question. I'd love to get feedback out there as well, but for me, I think I'm going to go with as much as, you know, there's a lot of popular votes, I'm going to go with Bill Snyder. I just like what he's doing with Kansas State. Dude is a straight shooter. Very complimentary of everyone. I'm just a fan, man. So I'm a big time fan. So that's who I would vote for president. So there you go.
Well, you know, I know a lot of LSU fans may not like me saying this, but I would actually vote for Nick Saban. I think he's not too old, and he's a great leader. He speaks very well. He's a great communicator. And I just think that he is somebody that is probably capable of running the country. Extremely smart. And so I know a lot of LSU fans may not like him. You know, he's hated in Louisiana, even though I think, you know, he's somewhat deserves some credit for where LSU football is today. But I think he would be a guy that I think I would vote for as president.
You know, and go for the Mad Hatter to surprise you, you know, while you're leading the country. Like, what? Just pull out something crazy. He's pulling out a bomb from nowhere. Yes.
I think the Mad Hatter is a good football coach, but, you know, 90% of the time you can't understand what he's saying.
Oh, man. I love it. There you go. They're from LSU country. I love it, Ron. That's pretty. Yeah, that's pretty true. I know they interviewed him. They're like, "What's he gonna say?" You never know what's gonna happen. So
yeah.
Coaching football, Mad Hatter. It's all good.
So you know, George W. Bush. You know, I know some of you all may be a fan of him, but he was one of these guys you wanted to cringe every time he spoke. And sometimes Les Miles is the same thing. Same thing. You know, you want to hide underneath the table. You don't know what's gonna come out of his mouth.
It's all good. Yeah, like you said, it's certain. I mean, it definitely, the unfortunate thing, like you said, you know, it was interesting because a lot of funny bits came from Saturday Night Live because of George Bush, so I can't hate it. So it's just very interesting, too. So, you know, interesting. Let's keep it going, Rob. Let's move right along. I just want to get out of that segue here. Who do you think is going to play for the national championship in college football? This is pretty interesting. We'd love to hear, like I said, feedback out there. I'm going to go on the limb and say it's going to be Alabama and Oregon, which should be a great game. I like Kansas State too, but I'm just thinking that Oregon may have enough to kind of oversee it. So we'll see. What are you thinking as far as a national championship game?
I'm thinking it's going to be Alabama and Kansas State. I think they're going to be 1-2. And I still see a loss somewhere for Oregon in that playing in that Pac-12. I think there's somebody good enough. They still got to play in the Pac-12 title game. But I will say this. If Oregon, Kansas State, Alabama and Notre Dame are all undefeated at the end of the season, then I would agree with you. It's going to be Alabama and Oregon, because Alabama and Oregon would have won their conference title games and would have to play an extra game. But for something just tells me that Oregon is going to lose at least one game, and that's the only reason I'm picking Kansas State. And so I'm going to go with Alabama and Kansas State. And in that matchup, I wouldn't be surprised if Kansas State pulls it out. And, I would not be surprised at all. I think Bill Snyder's got this team playing tremendously well. And this is a they're just extremely well coached. And so I would not be surprised. Not going out on a limb to make a prediction just yet on that game. And but right now I'm going to go with Alabama and Kansas State.
Very interesting, too. And as we start wrapping up, too, I'm going to be very, very interested, curious to see what happens with that Heisman chase, too. So a lot of moving parts have been happening since we've been broadcasting the show. So it's going to be interesting to see how that actually comes down. You know, you got your guy from Notre Dame playing a tremendous defense. I mean, there's a lot of good players out there, too. So it's pretty interesting, too, how everything plays out. Once again, for those that you want to call on the show, give us your thoughts on this election night. The number to call on the show, it's 424-243-9519. And also, don't forget to hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, all that fun stuff at 12th Man Sports. Show us your love. Give us your feedback. Are we crazy? Are we nuts? Whatever. It's all good. Let's jump into the NFL as we make a nice transition, sir. And let's talk about the top five teams right now. Rob, I'm going to let you have the floor first and foremost, because I have a feeling you know where I'm going to go in certain things, too. So let's see what you got, sir.
Well, I think this is Andre's favorite part of the show, just so we can hear the Falcons being mentioned here. So I know you get really excited about this part of the show. But, you know, we're going to go ahead and let them smile a little bit here in this section here. And so I have the have his Falcons at number one here in the top five so far in the NFL. And I'm going to give credit where credit is due. I think the one thing I have been impressed with the Falcons is that they're playing complementary football, and that's very important. You know, you have to have a team where your offense complements your defense and where your defense complements your offense, with a good special teams. And so definitely I'm going to have them number one. Number two, I made a slight change from last week. Even though Houston won this past week, I'm going to move them down to number three, but I'm moving the Chicago Bears up to number two. Chicago Bears is playing probably the best defense in football right now, and they're playing extremely well. Charles Tillman might be the NFL Defensive Player of the Year so far. He's getting forcing turnovers practically every week. And so right now I got the Chicago Bears as a strong number two, and I have Houston at number three. And we're looking at a team. We're looking at those two teams going head to head this Sunday. Should be the game of the week, and we're going to be making a prediction on that game here in just a little bit. But I like the Bears at two. I like the Texans at number three, and four and five. I have some surprise changes here as well. At number four, I am going with the San Francisco 49ers. And they had a bye week this past week, and I think they're still a very strong defensive team as well. If Alex Smith can play like he did in his last performance, it's going to be a really tough out as well. And number five, this was a battle between, in my opinion, it was a battle between Green Bay and Pittsburgh, but I'm going to sneak the Pittsburgh Steelers in at number five. I think they're on the road right now, playing good football, beat the New York Giants on the road. And I think they are quietly becoming the second in the AFC.
I like your list, Rob, and this is pretty interesting because, you know, every time, you know, it's a tale of two different people because Robert, you know, a big Saints fan. So, you know, this is a good time for him to actually, you know, show me some love too. So, you know, it's what's, you know, one side of him is going all Saints when he comes to the show. He's very straight down the middle. So, yeah, we appreciate you giving us some love for the Falcons. Yeah, they're undefeated, so they got to be number one this time. And check in next week because one of us is not going to be happy on the show. It's going to be a tale of two halves. So we'll see, since the Saints are playing the Falcons this Sunday, and nothing will bring Robert joy to see us beaten. But that's for another show. But
Go Saints.
Number one, I got the Falcons, obviously. Number two, I'm going to go with the Texans. I think Jay Cutler must have pitchers or Robert, which is why the Bears are always number two. I'm not a fan of Cutler just yet. Defense is playing well, but once again, we'll see how that plays out this coming Sunday. Number three for my 49er fans, yeah, San Francisco, I like them. Number four, I got the Bears. And number five, I still like Aaron Rodgers. Kind of a toss-up between the Giants, but I got the Packers taking the number fifth spot. So that's Andre's top five. And we'd love to hear your top five as well, too, to see how you think as far as how we're doing. So, yeah, there you go, my friend.
Very good, very good. I think that's some very good that's a very good top five. Good job.
Good job, good job. All right, let's talk about something that's pretty interesting, and I like this question. Who is the most the NFL's most overrated coach? And I already know who I have, Rob. Who are you going to say is the most overrated coach in the NFL?
Wow, this is a tough one. I think there are a couple of people right now, but I'm going to go with Rex Ryan with a narrow victory over Andy Reid as the most overrated coach in the league. And I'm going to go with Rex Ryan. And I think his ship is falling apart up there in the New York Jets.
Wow.
By the way, just to update on the election here, we have Obama now with 256 electoral college to Romney's 191. So he's only needs about 14 more electoral college votes to win a presidency. But we can move on to talking sports here.
Yeah, I was looking at that too. Very interesting. This is a tough one too because there's a couple guys I thought about, from Jim Schwartz, because, you thought that they were going to do a lot better. The Lions, they just, haven't done that well. And I'm going to have to agree with you. I'm going to have to go with Rex Ryan. I mean, that's just a train wreck. And I'm sorry to keep picking on the Jets, all of our Jets fans out there. It's just kind of sad because everything that he has done this year has been just kind of backfired on him. Obviously, Tim Tebow fiasco hasn't panned out. And I know I'm sure whenever they first hired him, it was good to have that type of vibrato going from Eric Mangini, who was very quiet, didn't seem to have a pulse. And they kind of went the whole opposite spectrum in getting Rex Ryan is just talking all this game. And you're kind of like, man, just be quiet and handle your business. So, Rex Ryan is probably up there. I saw a little thing that you got like a lot of votes for Bill Belichick. I'm not sure why that came up, but Andy Reid should be up there. I think it's kind of interesting that we both had the same guy as far as being the most overrated guy in the NFL. So good job to you, Robert, as well. So we'll keep moving right along. I know you want to talk about Sean Payton and the contract situation, but let's talk about another interesting note about Mike Shanahan and giving up on the season. I don't know if you heard about this, so tell us your thoughts about what Mike Shanahan is talking about and possibly giving up on the season.
Well, I think this whole story is blown out of proportion. I really do. I don't think Shanahan meant that they were giving up on the season. I think a lot of reporters misunderstood where he was going with this. I think Shanahan is a really good football coach, and I will, I've seen firsthand. I've seen RG3 play a couple of times this year, and I think he's doing a phenomenal job with developing RG3. They just are not a complete football team yet, but I think they're on the right path, and I think he is doing a tremendous job. CNN projection here, Barack Obama reelected president here. Just taking a little set of side note. So according to CNN, we have a second term out of President Obama. Breaking news as we speak right now.
Wow.
Yes, I lost my train of thought here. Where was I, Andre?
You were talking about Shanahan and how the season and how Robert Griffin is playing great and stuff like that.
I think Shanahan has done a tremendous job with developing RG3, and I think he's on the right path. And by no means do I expect for the Redskins to quit on the rest of the season. I don't think that's what he meant.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like I said, sometimes a lot of reporters, they just look for a story. They kind of create a one, and that's kind of the whole thing. I'm sure, though, Robert, RG3 has been playing well, and it's kind of interesting, too, because he's kind of dipped. And then you look at it like stocks, Rob. You see, he kind of had a first half of the season, he kind of dipped a little bit, and then Andrew Luck's coming out of nowhere. It's kind of progressing after that great, great game you know, breaking Cam's rookie record of throwing 423 yards for passing. So it's just interesting to see the tale of two halves, which is why you got to keep going. You never know what's going to happen in the second half of the season. So, you know, obviously we thought that RG3 had more weapons around him, a better team around him, and, you know, maybe we're off. Maybe Andrew Luck is kind of putting together quietly and kind of doing his thing too. So we'll see how that progresses for sure. Let's dive into some interesting talk about your embattled coach, Mr. Sean Payton, and the contract situation. Whenever that happened on NFL Sunday about, you know, Sean Payton, a free agent, did your heart kind of skip a beat, Rob? Like, nah, he's just kind of creating more drama for us. What did you think whenever that first came out, sir?
Well, I think, you know, when you first heard it, you know, we, of course, a lot of Saints fans, well, here we go with Roger Goodell, you know, with his vendetta against the New Orleans Saints. And I'm sure a lot of Saints fans felt the same way. But now, you know, I think we all have an understanding. We all have an understanding of exactly, you know, what's going on with that contract situation. And I think it's, you know, probably being a little bit over, the story has been a little bit overblown right now. But basically, the Saints and Sean Payton agreed to a contract extension in September of 2011, I guess over about a year ago now. The Saints agreed to a contract extension with Sean Payton until 2015. And there's some language in the contract where Roger Goodell did not approve of. This was even prior to the bounty whammy that Roger Goodell is accusing the Saints of. And so basically there's some language in the contract that says that Sean Payton, you know, could possibly, you know, break his contract if Mickey Loomis is fired or anything for any reason. And Roger Goodell didn't want to have any kind of language in the contract. He didn't want any coaches around the league to, you know, put that kind of language in the contracts, you know, to be tied to a certain person. Even though he did allow it for Bill Parcells. So, you know, I think for some Saints fans, it was like, okay, he's got another little nick. You know, he allowed Bill Parcells to have a contract like this with the Miami Dolphins, but he's not allowing the Sean Payton to have the contract with the Saints. So, in a nutshell, Tom Benson just came out today and says, hey, we agreed to a contract. We just got to change some language on it. And the NFL is letting us fix it. And so it should be fixed. You know, Sean Payton will be the highest paid coach in the league. So for those Saints fans that are worried, he's not going anywhere. For Cowboy fans that are hoping he's come to Dallas, he's not going to Dallas. I'm sorry. For Eagles fans that are hoping that he replaces Andy Reid, he's not going to Philly. For Cleveland Browns fans hoping he's going to replace Sherman, he's not going to Cleveland. He will be with the New Orleans Saints on next season. It's just some little issue they have to get settled here in the coming weeks.
Rob is talking about that with a lot of confidence, too. I like it. Let's talk about Peyton Manning. Is he the NFL's comeback player of the year, in your opinion? I have to think this is a toss-up between him and Adrian Peterson, but what are your thoughts about this, sir?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Peyton Manning here. I think Adrian Peterson is having a fantastic season. Don't get me wrong, but
He leads the league in rushing, though, after amazing for somebody that, you know. Well, I think it's pretty
the only reason I'm amazing. Giving it to Peyton Manning is because Peyton Manning did not play at all last year, where Adrian Peterson still had a strong season last year, and he's coming back off an injury. So, you know, Peyton Manning did not play at all last year. He didn't do anything. And so Peterson got hurt toward the end of the year and played most of the season last year. And so that's the reason why I'm giving with Peyton Manning. And I think the Broncos on the roll right now. I think they've found something. And I think this is a team that's also going to be a tough out in the AFC. And I think you're finally starting to see who these four elite division teams are in the AFC right now. And even though Baltimore is in the league, I think Pittsburgh will catch them and pass them in the AFC North. I like the Broncos out west. You know, you still got to go with the Patriots, and you have the Houston Texans in the South. And so I think the Broncos and Peyton Manning are really catching fire. And it just took them a little while to get going. But I think they're on the right path, and he's playing phenomenal football right now.
Shout out to my barber, Alex. Alex, there's a lot of love for you, sir. He's a big, big Bronco fan. And basically, I told him, like, whenever We first had that first meeting at the Monday Night Football game, and I was like, you know, I'd rather have you guys early than late whenever Peyton was kind of putting things together, and that extra predicament, that prediction came true. So not want to play the Broncos right about now. Sorry that you guys had to play them, because it's just been they've been kind of hitting their stride, as you mentioned, and just having a lot of confidence goes a long, long way. So, you know, interesting to see that, and I think it's going to be a runaway with Peyton. I do think Adrian's going to get a lot of votes too, so we'll see how that plays out for sure. We've got about 4 minutes left in the show, Rob, and I guess I'm going to do a quick little prediction for the game of the week, Houston at Chicago. We'll do some fantasy shout-outs, but talking about Houston at Chicago, this is probably one of the bigger games this weekend. It's tough because this is definitely a statement game for the Texans. They've been projected to have that pretty impressive defense, as well as Chicago. Now, this is tough. You know I'm not a fan of Jay Cutler. You know this, Rob. Everyone that listens to the show that knows I'm not a big fan of Cutler. The defense may pull out Chicago since it's at home, but I still don't trust Jay Cutler. So I think he may throw a couple more interceptions, and it may be a tight game. Texans may pull us out. But it's tough because it's at home, and I think Chicago's defense is great. I just don't trust Jay Cutler. That's me.
I like Chicago at home to win this game by 3 points. And I think, you know, you got to look at the weather aspect, too. You know, you have these southern teams that don't travel. You know, this is the time of the year where weather's starting to change. It's getting a little bit colder. You know, teams from the south don't go up north and play that well this time of the year. And so I think that could be a little bit of a factor here. I like the Bears to win this game by a field goal.
Gotcha. Good deal. All right, let's give some fantasy shout-outs to some people that are playing the 12-man sports league and all that fun stuff. Do it. Let's go, Robert.
Quick fantasy shout-out. Still in first place in the 12-man sports fantasy football league. Crazy Crew, Wayne DeGreen, still holding on the overall first spot in the league. And also congratulations to Night Ward Soldiers. Good friend of mine, Stephen Washington, grew up together. And holding down the best victory this past weekend in our fantasy football league. But once again, we want to thank all of you for competing with us. We still got a lot of football left to be played here. I think we may have about 5 weeks to go or 6 weeks before we start the playoffs, somewhere around that ballpark. And also, I'm still leading the college football pick'em, so I got to give myself a little shout-out. Even though the last couple of weeks you've kind of gained on me a little bit here, so I got to tighten it up a little bit and hold on to my lead in the college football pick'em. And we just kind of kicked off the 12-man sports basketball league. Dr. Duncanstein, Irv Daniels, holding on the first place spot. So we want to thank you all for competing, and we look forward to continue to play a lot of football and, of course, a lot of basketball to be played. But we just kind of want to wrap up. We're going to be going to our OT portion here shortly. And I know you all can't listen to that live, but tomorrow, if you have an opportunity, I know I say this every week practically, you can go in and click on blogtalkradio.com/12manSports, and you can listen to our live portion again as well as our OT portion, which you can't listen to tonight, but you can catch it. We still have some football and some NBA. We may even sneak in a little college basketball since the season's getting ready to start here in the next week or so as well. And also next week, the same time, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday night. Make sure you join us for those of you all in Los Angeles. That will be 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian. So we look forward to you all joining us again. And we appreciate you all listening to us around the globe as well.
Yes, sir. And like you said, too, and just to jump back on the fantasy shout-outs, I think I did pretty good. I think I gained like 14 points last week, man. So I just got to say big ups to me. I'm just joking, Rob. All right, yeah, check us out to the OT portion. We're going to definitely jump into some more NBA talk. And it's kind of a good segue, too. So tell your friends, like us on Facebook. Don't forget, you want to call on the show, the number you have to call us in is 424-243-9519. And definitely like us and hit us up on Twitter. That's what it's all about. We have some fun, too. But, you know, we're looking forward to keep it going. As always.
Oh, yeah. Time to get crunk, baby.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Gonna be playing this song a lot in the Superdome this Sunday.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Go on. 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 Go on You guys next week. Good night.
Good night, world.
I gotta stop that because I don't want to hear anything about happening in the Superdome, man. So we'll see. let's talk about some good stuff going on. It's a good segue. You are now into the OT portion of the show. We want to thank you guys for listening, as always, to us. And we're going to talk about some NBA stuff and maybe some college basketball, as you said, at the end of the live portion of the show, Rob. So let's talk about an interesting statement that was made by Monty Williams, the coach of the New Orleans Hornets, actually being fined $25,000 for some comments regarding the NBA concussion policy. For those who aren't familiar with this happened, kind of fill us in about what he said and how the league came to this particular decision.
Well, I'm a big fan of Monty Williams. I think he's a stand-up guy, classy guy. You know, he's a believer. He's a Christian. I mean, you know, great guy. And I also think he's one of the better up-and-coming coaches in the NBA. And even with the Hornets' record on last season, if anybody knows the parts he was working with, he did a phenomenal job. The Hornets competed on a nightly basis. And he even had a couple of votes for Coach of the Year based on what he was dealt and the injuries. And there was a team that competed extremely hard on a nightly basis. And even so far this season, after a 2-1 start and playing extremely hard, like I said, he's a stand-up guy, classy guy, but he's also one of the better up-and-coming coaches in the league. But getting back to, you know, what happened this past week, and as much as I like him, I disagree with what he said on this past Saturday night. And basically what happened was I was even at the Hornets game on Friday night when it happened. Austin Rivers inadvertently hit his own teammate, Anthony Davis, in the temple part of his forehead, and he wound up getting a mild concussion. And, you know, those of you all huge football fans, we're aware the NFL has a policy with concussions and have to pass a certain number of tests in order to come back and play. And so the NBA instituted a similar rule last year, about a year ago. So Anthony Davis could not come back into the game on Monday night. The Hornets still wound up winning the game. So the team flew to Chicago right after the game to play the Bulls the very next day. But Anthony Davis could not travel with the team because he needed to pass certain concussion tests before, you know, he could play an NBA game. You know, you and I even had a debate about this a few weeks ago in the regarding the NFL. But I'm in agreement with protecting these players and making sure that they pass certain tests. I mean, it's just something about the brain that, without the brain, you know, you can't function. And so I'm just a firm believer of, you know, even if guys have to miss a game or two, and, you know, trust me, I want to see Anthony Davis out there on the court, hoping that he's back tomorrow. But if he needs to pass a certain number of tests regarding concussions and making sure he's okay, I'm okay with him. You know, I'm okay with the rule, making sure that he's ready. And so Monty Williams says, hey, I had about 5 or 6 concussions in my playing career, and look at me now, I'm fine. But I'm just, you know, he said it should be up to the player on whether or not they wanted to play. And Anthony Davis was extremely excited about going back to his hometown and playing in Chicago. And, of course, with New Orleans being in the Western Conference, Chicago in the Eastern Conference, he would only get an opportunity to play in Chicago once a year. And so he had an opportunity to play on Saturday night but couldn't because of the NBA concussion rules, even though he felt like he was able to play. And so that's how this all came about. And so Monty Williams kind of bashed the NBA's policy and rules, and the NBA just hit him with a $25,000 fine.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty interesting, too. I mean, like you said, I mean, you know, we talked about it before. I think sometimes, though, the players, there's that whole thing about being the man, and you know how sometimes we get excited about certain things, like we want to prove to ourselves that we're going to be okay. And sometimes it's good to have certain, you know, procedures put in place to kind of like, okay, let's make sure that you're seriously okay, because, you know, as mentioned, you want to think about your long-term, you know, health as far as, you know, after you stop playing too. So, I'm sure with what's going on with I want to say Uni Brown, but that's not right, with Anthony Davis doing the thing too. It's just, you know, I'm sure, you know.
But I call him that as well.
huh? I know, all the procedures put in place. You want to make sure that he is okay to play. So, you know, let's look at the player. In the heat of the moment, you may be excited, but, you know, deep down, you know it's the right decision, and I think that there's a certain policy put into place. And if it's kind of a good reason, you know, either or, that's what it should be. So, you know, hopefully I'm making sense of that particular answer, Rob, too. It's just an interesting, very, very interesting subject that we always talk about, too. So, you know, if it came down to, you know, a certain one-time game, I'm sure that's going to come up, and you got to really, really evaluate that decision and what's best for the player and also for the team, too. But obviously you'll look at that player's long-term health, no doubt.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about some interesting injuries that have been going on in the NBA that's been shaping the first half of the season. And it's pretty interesting, too, because we're going to have some nice thoughts about this. The Mavericks, Sean Marion, is out 3 games with a sprained knee. And then we also had Gerald Henderson? Is he out for 3 weeks or is it Wallace?
Yeah, out? Gerald Henderson will be out also 2 to 4 weeks. He got a sprained foot that he's dealing with as well. And, of course, I like the way the Mavericks have started out this season here. You know, they're playing really well. You know, there were some questions on whether or not Darren Collison and O.J. Mayo were ready to be a starting backcourt. And it's worked out so far that both of those guys are playing extremely well. So I think they'll be okay with just missing Sean Marion a few. They can certainly handle that. Gerald Henderson's also gotten out to a great start. And I don't think the Bobcats are equipped to handle a loss like him. So this may really hurt them as a ball club, being out here for the next 2 to 4 weeks. And, you know, you look at the Lakers, we're losing Steve Nash here. He looks like he may be out another week or so as well. And I think, you know, Lakers getting their first win of the season here this past Sunday night. And I think they can handle him being out for a little while and maybe be a little better because Steve Nash is certainly a liability on defense at this stage of his career, and it definitely shows out there on the basketball court as well. So those are just a few little nuggets of some injuries and some teams. You know, we talked about Anthony Davis, but he's just day-to-day and possibly will be back tomorrow, if not maybe Friday night as well for the New Orleans Hornets. And what's the latest on Josh Smith and his sprained ankle?
Yeah, he's been resting too, so I think he's a game-time decision. I'm sure he's working on it. They're not sure if he's going to come back this Wednesday, but they may target him to come back later on the next game. So we'll see how that plays out. And we played pretty well in his absence. We beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, so that was kind of a big win. Lou Williams did his thing. I kind of owned the fourth quarter, so, I mean, if I would have said that Josh is out, and obviously all the moves he made losing Joe Johnson and Marvin Williams and Josh being out, I'm sure everyone thought we'd kind of, you know, had it handed to us, but we did a good job of kind of rallying as a team, and we'll see if this helps build our confidence for sure.
Yes, yeah, that was a big win for the Hawks the other night against Oklahoma City in OKC without Josh Smith, so that was a big win. I'm sure most of Atlanta was watching the Sunday night game against Dallas. But that was still a big win for the Hawks in OKC.
Trying to flip back and forth, trying to catch all of those too. But it's all good. I like how you said this, man. Some early thoughts about the NBA season, and this is interesting too. I want to ask you about this because you know the way. And I'm sorry that we get to talk about the Lakers, but I know the Lakers have been running this interesting Princeton style offense, and it's been getting a lot of flack because you know obviously the Lakers have been struggling coming out the gate. Do you think the Princeton offense should be made for more younger players, as opposed to these older guys, or I mean, do they have enough youth, the Lakers, to kind of interject you, or you think that adding these veterans is kind of hurting them and why they've gotten out to a tough start? I know some chemistry issues that have been going on, and this may set them back, too, as well as Steve Nash still getting hurt, so I'm sure this is going to be interesting as far as, as the Lakers go. Excuse me.
Well, yeah. You know, it's really interesting that you know, I think as much as I hate the Lakers, I still think they're going to turn it around at some point. I think most of their issues is just chemistry issues right now. And but I also think there's another issue with the Lakers too. I thought maybe they had better depth than what they did. And looking at them playing so far this year, they look like they went out and just got a bunch of stars, but they don't have depth, and their bench could be in extreme trouble this year. I don't think that Antoine Jameson come off the bench is going to be enough. You know, he's getting a little long in the tooth there as far as age is concerned. And so he's probably not the same player. But another thing I found out about the Lakers, too, is they're not very athletic. Their team is getting beat up and down the floor against younger teams. And so back in transition. And I think they're going to have to try to be a slow-it-down, ball-control kind of team to be successful. So they may have to change up their style a little bit to more of a half-court, inside-out team with a Dwight Howard and Paul Gasol. You got two big men. And maybe they need to, I'm kind of thinking, they need to try to become a ball club similar to the way the Houston Rockets played with Hakeem Olajuwon in the 90s. They need to become more of an inside-out team, you know, hopes that teams would double-team, and you want to establish some really good shooters on the perimeter. And so I think the Lakers could probably use another really good three-point shooter and try to become more of an inside-outside ball club on their ball, with their team, which means I think down the stretch they need to have somebody else in the game besides Ryan Artest, even though, you know, he's your so-called defensive stopper. Or meta world peace, I'm sorry.
That's okay. We knew what you were talking about. And like I said, I think Lamar Kardashian is still available, too, if he wants to come and play, too. So he's actually, you know, hopefully making that transition, too. So he wants to come back and show us everyone that he still has some game, too. So, yes, sir, just throwing it out there. You also got to be surprised as well as far as what's going to happen with San Antonio Spurs. And, you know, obviously, Greg Popovich doing his thing. They had an electrifying start. They're out to 4-0. That fast start. What do you think about them? You know, obviously the old guys are kind of still doing it, right?
Yes. Well, you know, I just made a comment here on last night here in regards to the San Antonio Spurs about how these guys just keep winning. But, you know, once again, we go back to chemistry here, and they just play well together. I still don't think they're a team capable of winning the championship in the playoffs. But I think you may see this team possibly have the best record in the regular season once again. And Oklahoma City, of course, you know, they took a slight step back with the James Harden trade. I mean, they did bounce back with a 20-point victory tonight over Toronto. But I think they're going to have some, you know, growing pains without James Harden. But I think in the end, they'll still be a top-three team in the Western Conference as well. But you can easily see the Spurs possibly be a number one seed again in the Western Conference. Well, I think prior to the season, I was automatically looking at the Lakers and the Thunder surpassing them. But, you know, based on the Spurs keeping their entire team intact, I can easily see this team possibly staying at the number one spot, but still getting beat by either the Thunder or Lakers in the playoffs.
Gotcha. Very, very interesting. Tell us your thoughts, man. Are we crazy? Are we nuts? Do you like what's going on? I mean, it should be interesting, you know, obviously. Hit us on Facebook, Twitter, all that fun stuff as well. Rob, we got about 3 minutes left in the show here, 42 after. So I want to get in your thoughts about college football. It's actually starting pretty soon, your Final Four. I know it's very, very, very early, folks. So I love how these shows give us some time, too. But I'm just going to throw out mine real quick. You're going to be happy for two of these guys, or maybe one of them. I got North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, and a surprise, surprise, Indiana. Tom Crean doing his thing. They're on this cover of ESPN. That's who I have for my Final Four.
Wow. You give my Tar Heels a lot of love. I don't even have that kind of confidence in them this season.
I just picked them. I just picked them out there. You know, it's all good.
Wow. Well, Indiana's a preseason number one. And the Zeller kid, it looks like he's going to be the player of the year in college basketball this season. So I got to go with Indiana. I like Kentucky to come back here as well. Nerland Knowles is going to be a tremendous prospect here for the Kentucky Wildcats. And John Calipari just does it again, getting good players in. And I'm going to go with Louisville as well. They got a really strong senior-laden ball club coming back this season. And the team that I'm projecting to win the ACC this year is North Carolina State. And they're going to be my sleeper team to make it all the way to the Final Four. Very athletic bunch. And so those are my Final Four, and I have Indiana winning it all. But I would love to see my Tar Heels make it, so I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, like I said, only because we're just used to always them doing well, too. But we'll see. Like I said, we got about a minute left, Rob. Let's wrap up the show and get ready to give us your thoughts, too, as we head to next week. I'm not going to be mad, I'm not going to be happy, but we'll see about happens next week, as always.
Once again, congratulations to Barack Obama being reelected president. And make sure you all join us next Tuesday, same time, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. You don't want to miss it. More football talk, more basketball talk. This is a great sports time of the year, and I'm loving it. So make sure you all join us. Any closing remarks really quick, Dr. Dre?
See you next week. Go Falcons, 8-0. I love it.
Who that nation going to put a stop to that?
Oh, I love it. Like I said, we'll see what happens next week. It's going to be good. It's going to be a tough game. We'll see you guys next week, same time, same channel. A lot of love, guys.